Some officials say the juvenile home was the place of last resort for girls who were too hard to handle in other settings. Amber Opdahl was taken from her abusive home at the age of 11 and went first to the State Mental Health Institute in Independence.
From MHI, I went to placement. Eventually, my social worker told me she had no other place to put me but the Iowa Juvenile Home. I wasn't violent. I wasn't convicted of any crimes. I just had nowhere else to go.
Chelsea Reisner began her trek through the social service system at the age of 7.
I had been to every facility in Iowa, excluding two, as well as foster homes, hospitals, and shelter stays. All of these were very unsuccessful for me.
Amber Opdahl describes being held in isolation at the home, as investigators revealed.
I spent long periods in safety rooms. I needed every moment of it. I could have gotten out anytime I wanted. I just had to say I was safe. I was safe with myself. I was safe with other staff.
And now both young women credit the staff at the home for turning their lives around. Former staffers who were recently let go, such as teacher Todd Sprague, also paint a more positive picture than what has emerged in recent months.
For the first time in many of their lives, they know that they will not leave us and that we will not leave them. Safety and structure.
Sprague and the girls describe satisfying classroom experiences. That's even though the Iowa Department of Education says the home broke federal law for inadequate schooling for the girls. One former staffer has been prosecuted for his actions restraining a girl. But longtime Toledo resident, retired attorney Jim Rohn, urges the state to improve the home, not close it.
Sure, there's a few bad eggs in every basket, and the court system has a way of taking care of those things. But that is no reason to close the state juvenile home.
A state task force recommended major changes, including separating delinquent girls from those who had not committed crimes. But backers say the task force stopped short of saying the home should close. And lawmakers of both parties are concerned about what has happened to the girls who used to live there. Harlan Republican Nancy Butker says it's too early to tell whether she will buck the governor's action in closing the home.
I need a lot more information, but my main concern is with the girls. Those girls that are no longer there since the doors have been closed, and where are they, and what's happening in their lives now?
Laid-off staffers say the girls have been moved to various settings, including foster homes, detention, and for some, back to their own families. Some legislators question whether it's safe to send a kid back to a home where things had gone so wrong before. Ankeny Republican Jack Whitfer was also not ready to say yes or no to reopening the home.
Over the course of the session, we're going to do our due diligence on it and hopefully get to a solution that we can all agree on.
But Democrats say the state needs a so-called place of last resort for troubled girls, that for these girls, the last stop was the most important stop. And some suggest it's unconstitutional to have a juvenile home for boys and not for girls. Meanwhile, a lawsuit filed by the head of the state's largest public employees union and four Democratic legislators to require the governor to reopen the home is making its way through the court. This week, the attorney general filed papers asking to dismiss the case. At the State House, I'm Joyce Russell, Iowa Public Radio News.